Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
And your life is a mess and you're struggling. Can we just give you some insight? God that loves you, that has made a way for you. You don't even understand how much of a way he's made for you at this point. But God has allowed struggle and hardship in your life because he wants you to understand you can't do this, but I have already done this.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
And with that, we are off to the races for another fun-filled edition of Truth Infusion. My name is David, and I'll be your host today, but I'm excited that in the comfortable, air-conditioned, palatial Truth Infusion broadcast studios, I have a guest with me today, but one that many of you are familiar with, because Chuck Mansell is with me again today. Chuck, just give a big hello to all the listeners out there.
A blessing to be here. It's always good to be back. I'm excited about what God has put on our hearts for this evening, so see what happens.
Yeah, amen. Let's start right away with prayer, and then we'll kind of introduce to the listeners what we're going to be doing for the next couple of weeks. So tell you what, Chuck, I'll start with prayer, and then we'll jump right into what we're going to title for the next few weeks, The Struggling Christian. We'll explain what
amen.
That means.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be used of you, Lord. God, speak for Chuck and I know that we can't do anything of any value for someone's heart and life, Lord, if you don't empower it. So we ask that you would anoint every word, every thought, the scripture that you're going to bring out, Lord. Send the teacher to divide this word. And for the listeners, Lord, we just lift them up and pray for them right now, God, whether they're here in America or around the world. Lord, would you just open their hearts and minds to hear your message for their life? Whatever that may be for them, you know what they need. So, God, would you lift them up in it and anoint us to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so, Chuck, I don't know if you've been able to listen in the last several weeks, but spend some time dealing with a whole series on the wilderness.
Amen.
In the Bible. And I think it was about 5 or 6 weeks just looking at different scripture and concepts and value of the wilderness. And as I got through with that, we were coming out of a week in the prison.
Revival
in the prison. And Lord just blessed us to have some great time with a lot of special people. But listen to you preach a sermon that dealt a lot with stuff that I had dealt with in the wilderness teaching. But your sermon was really about the purpose and why do we as Christians struggle.
Amen.
And so it just seemed like that went right along with kind of what God's been doing with Truth Infusion Radio for the last little bit. And that's really why I called you a couple days ago and said, man, let's do this.
Right.
And so just let's start like this. Where did God start to birth this teaching, this sermon in your life? Kind of where did this come from?
Well, one thing I know that if, you know, it doesn't matter who you are or where you're at, whether you're giving a sermon in a church or whether you're in a jailhouse setting doing a revival or you're wherever you're at, if you don't know nothing about the people you're speaking with or dealing with, you'll know this. One thing you have in common with them and you know about them is that they are struggling in some way, shape,
sure.
form, or fashion. There's no one, not one of us, that is excluded from that. Everyone is struggling, going and dealing with something in their life that raises questions to why. And so for myself, that was the case. And, you know, I had a lot of questions to why I struggle before and you know, even after my salvation. So that's where it all came about.
Yeah, it's very true. And I don't want to get ahead of what we're going to be talking about, but just to go along with what you're saying, what we see a lot when you and I listen to preachers on TV, some of the bigger ministries that are very popular, even in the secular world, some of these ministries that are popular, you get a message from a lot of these preachers nowadays that kind of points to some kind of concept that if you are living the right way, that you got it easy, that somehow the manifestation of a right relationship with God is that there is no struggle.
Right.
And, you know, Chuck, I look in the Word at some of the most amazing Christians that ever walked this earth, and not a one of them lived that
way. That's right, not one of them.
And so it's true, and the sooner we can come to just realize, man, struggle is a part of life, and like you kind of said a second ago, before you get saved, there's pain and there's struggle and there's trials. But after you get saved, it's still there. So it's well worth us looking at why is this stuff here? There's purpose in everything. You're the guy that says this all the time. There's no such thing as coincidence.
That's right.
Or luck or karma or that type of stuff.
All that.
It's all there for a reason. So then, God, why is the struggle there?
It's all divinely set in place for a purpose. As a child of God, this is what I believe is the truth. That here's what I always... And I love to share this with guys, especially those, David, you know, we have a ministry in the jail, and I love to share it with them, these guys in the jails, because they need to hear this.
Sure.
You know, we were already blood-bought children of God long before we stepped into our rightful position as that child of God. And what I mean by that is that God knows all His children that are going to confess His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. as their Lord and Savior.
Sure He does.
And so you got to look at why do we struggle before our salvation, and what does it mean? What is the point in our struggles? And it's not just before our salvation, but even like you said a while ago, sometimes it would seem like even more after your salvation.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people say that. Boy, it wasn't nearly this hard before I got saved. And really, I understand what they're saying, but the truth is our heart is just so much more sensitive because of the Holy Spirit to the things of life and what's going on inside of us and in our mind. And there's different kinds of struggles on a brand new different level at that point.
Right.
But before we get saved, there's a reason why life stinks in a lot of ways before we even know anything about Jesus.
Right. And, you know, that's why I love the Word of God. And, you know, the first time the Lord revealed that to me was really in Matthew 5 and 3, where He says, "Blessed is the poor in spirit, mm-hmm. for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." And when I first looked at that and read that, I didn't understand the concept behind that. But God says, you are blessed when you are broken. You are blessed when your spirit is in poverty. Why is that? Because it's in our brokenness that we finally, maybe for the first time in our life, realize that we needed a Savior.
Yeah.
You know, if we were always up on the mountaintop or things was always going good in our life, we would never come to the conclusion that, man, this is a mess. Life is a mess for me. And I know that's the case for myself and you and everybody else, that, you know, it was in my brokenness, it was in my trials and tribulations, at the time that my legs were, you know, right out from underneath me, and I hit, you know, it was at that point in time that I said, "Lord, I need you." And had it not been for that brokenness, I would have never called out to God.
Yeah.
Because for a long time, the truth is, I thought I was my own Savior. I didn't think I needed a Savior.
Self-proclaimed Superman.
That's right.
You know, Chuck, you teach and bring out the truth of Matthew 5:3. I've never heard anybody do it better because of how real that verse was to the point in your life when it came alive your life.
Right.
And so just for the listeners, just to have a real practical, real life story that goes along with setting that up, would you just briefly give that little testimony of where that verse came alive to you?
Okay. Well, of course, we've shared a little bit of that testimony on here in the past, but it was at a point in my life that I was broken. It was that brokenness through. And, you know, I believe that God used different circumstances and situations for different people, and He knows exactly what it's going to take for you to get to that point. And mine, unfortunately, was incarceration, and I was incarcerated again. And I come to the point in my life I was in a seg cell, which is what I like to call a prison within a prison. And when I hit that, God allowed me to see me for who I truly was. And I broke. And in that brokenness, I called out to God. And when I read Matthew 5 and 3, "Blessed is the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs," I understood what it meant, because it was through my brokenness, it was through my poor spirit that I called out to Him. Had it not been for that seg cell, had not been for that exact moment at that exact time, I would have not been broken. So, you know, that scripture comes alive because it says, in your brokenness, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you, because it's in that brokenness that you finally called out to a Savior that you, for a long time, never even knew that you needed.
You're right. I was looking at this verse before we got here earlier. And if you look in the Beatitudes there, which this verse is one of them, that word blessed is used over and over and over. And you take a look at that word, and a really good description or understanding of that word is spiritually prosperous.
Wow, yeah.
Is the broken in spirit. You know, it's an amazing painting, because what God is saying is you don't even know how
blessed you
how
are.
Blessed this moment of your life right. is, because you are seeing the real deal for the
right.
first time.
You know, I said that so many times. You know, in that scripture, you know, blesses the poor in spirit. You know, you don't feel blessed at that point. As a matter of fact, you feel just the opposite. Yep. You are broke, tears are streaming, whatever the case may be, whatever that looks like for you, you are in a brokenness. But God looks down and says, son, you are blessed. Child, you are blessed. And I know you don't feel blessed, but you are more blessed today than you have ever been. Because for the first time in your life, you are calling out for a Savior. You are calling out for my son. You are calling out for the only way to eternal salvation. You are blessed.
Yeah.
You may not feel it, but you are blessed. And it's awesome when you can see with spiritual eyes later on in life, where you can look back and you say, oh my God, God
How
is an awesome God.
Yeah.
How awesome is he that he knows. And yes, I didn't feel blessed, but how awesome is it for that yeah. moment in my life that I thought was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
God, it turned out to be the biggest blessing of my life.
I just now thought about this, Paul, in one of the last verses in Romans chapter 7, when he says, oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from
right.
this body of death? You know, he's in that moment
right.
of just distraught, just mentally, just probably emotionally, this war is raging inside him. But you know where the victory came in that verse? It's so overlooked, but he says this. He says, oh, what a wretched man I am. And here's the victory word, who. Three letters. Who will deliver me? Because when he said who, he was looking away from Paul.
Wow.
And
right.
he was looking for a deliverer
right.
somewhere
right.
else.
Absolutely.
His eyes came off of himself. And Paul said, it's not going to happen with me. It's not inside me. I can't do it. I ain't good enough. All the struggle in that verse that he'd been talking, we've been talking about struggle. All the struggle Paul was going through brought him to a place where he came to a broken spot where he said, who can do this? I can't do it. And the last verse of the chapter says, blessed be God through Jesus Christ.
Hey,
so the who showed up.
That's right. Amen.
In his moment of brokenness.
And I love that chapter because, you know, all through that chapter, Paul's saying, you know, he's recognizing, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I've been trying
right.
to do it. I can't do it. The things that I don't want to do, those are things that I do. And the things that I don't want to do, those are the very things that I do.
Yeah.
He was and he was recognizing that. And so many people can relate to that. And but like you said, he gave the answer.
Mm-hmm.
The answer that the world overlooks, the only answer. But yeah, I love that. I love that scripture. And I love Paul's teachings. I just love Paul's teachings.
Amen.
Altogether. Amen.
Paul, well, and what we're talking about, at least for right now, is the struggle that comes before salvation.
Right.
And the ultimate thing that God is trying to do through all these struggles is get us to the place where we finally take eyes off of us.
That's right.
When Paul said who, the whole point of the struggle had come to that climax, because he realized, I can't do this. So if you're out there and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you for whatever reason you're like, I don't even know why I'm listening to a Christian show. I'm not a Christian. I don't go to church. If this is you, but you are listening right now, and your life is a mess and you're struggling, can we just give you some insight? God that loves you, that has made a way for you. You don't even understand how much of a way he's made
wow.
for you at this point. But God has allowed struggle and hardship in your life because he wants you to understand, you can't do this.
That's right.
But I have already done this, and I love you enough to show you what that is. Okay, now you've got some other scripture in Psalms. What are we going to look
right,
at?
Right, I love Psalms 119 and verse 67. And the reason I love this scripture is because it's pretty awesome. It basically just lays it out for you. It says, you know, before I was afflicted, And we know that affliction hurts. Before I was afflicted, I went astray and I lived life the way I wanted to live life, basically. But now that I've been afflicted, now I hold your commands. So basically, before the struggle, that paints such a perfect picture, because basically what he's saying, before I struggled and went through all these trials and tribulations, I did things the way I wanted to do.
Right.
But now that affliction, now that God had allowed affliction in my life, now that I finally struggled to the point to where I seen that I can't do this, amen? He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now, Lord, now I hold your commands. Now I have a desire to want to chase after you. I have a desire to want to be obedient to your commandments and your word.
You know, pain motivates us to find relief. I always think about the motivator. Have I ever told you about the motivator when I was working at Heartlight Ministries? Have you ever heard me talk about this?
I have not.
Okay, you're going to think this is crazy, but it worked. When I worked at Heartlight Ministries for several years, this was a place for teenagers that were really just down and out, you know, drugs, sometimes abuse, but just very rebellious. Parents didn't know what to do with them.
Right.
So they would get to a place where they would call and say, I need help. They'd come to Heartlight for sometimes up to a year. And we'd have group sessions with sometimes 40, 50 kids. And we every once in a while, we'd pull out the motivator. Now, the motivator was a bar stool. It looked like a regular bar stool, but it was rigged with the coil from a Model T car. And so there was a little button, and you know, the wire would come to the button. And if you were sitting on that dude, there were these points underneath the seat that would come into, you know, contact with your backside through your pants and through the cushion on the chair. But anyways, when you hit the button, it would send the volts from that coil from that Model T, and it would just zap you. Now, it wasn't dangerous. Let me say that, truth seekers, we weren't shocking the kids. There was no amps here. It was not dangerous. It just buzzed you. Kind of like, you know, the deal that somebody puts on their hands and shakes your hand and, you know, it buzzes you. So that's all it felt like, but it was a lot of that. And so what we would do is we'd put these kids on the seat, and we'd give them one of these games like they used to play with when we were kids, where you have the ball with all the shapes cut into it, and you have to get the right shape block inside the ball. And we'd dump all that in their lap, and everybody in the room would start counting down from 20. And they're scrambling. They're trying to get the balls in the right place. And always what happened, they get down to like the last four or five when the count went down to 3, 2, 1. And if they didn't get all those pieces into the ball, I would hit the button, and all those volts would run through their backside. They'd shoot up in the air like they were high jumping 8 foot.
That's funny.
And it was hilarious. We'd laugh, and the next kid we took pictures of the kids jumping in the air.
Right.
It was awesome time. They loved it. And when we all had fun, we would stop and we would make this point. Pain motivates you.
Right.
Whether it's physical pain, you touch the oven, you're motivated to pull away fast.
That's right.
If it's emotional pain, you're motivated to find relief. If it's spiritual pain, you're motivated. And here's the whole reason I'm bringing this up. Struggle is pain.
Right.
And that's what the psalmist is saying here. This affliction is the struggle, the pain of life, and it motivates us. Nobody's going to sit in the pain.
That's right. Absolutely.
And so what do? We look for relief. We look for the answer. And sometimes we find the right answer through Christ. But, you know, Chuck, sometimes people go and find answers the wrong place.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the Word of God's clear about that. You know, some people it takes repetitious. God has to continue. You know, now that I can look back on my life, I can see the hand of God all over it. In so many different circumstances and situations in the past where he was trying to get my attention, but I was hard-headed. I would be sorry for the things that I would that caused me affliction, but I would go right back to him. But looking back, I mean, I used to say things like everything. It seems like everything I touch falls apart. Little things like that. But God was literally trying to get my attention through brokenness, through things that was just falling apart. He just wanted me to do the one thing that I finally did. But he knows exactly what it's going to take.
Sure.
It didn't take him by surprise that I didn't call out to him all those other times.
Oh, right.
All them other prison sentences, all them other times before I finally got to the point to where I said, Lord, I need you. And he knew that everything it was going to take. That's why I love, as we get further along in this study, some of the things that God had shown me, because he knew exactly what it would take and the point it would take it, and for me to call out to him. And then he planned on using exactly what the enemy meant for destruction to glorify his son and further his kingdom. And he's doing it still today.
It's the Jim Cooley thing, a friend of Chuck and mine who told you about your ministry and your misery. What was that point he made to you?
And when he said this, it made so much sense. And like you said, I still use this today. He says your ministry is oftentimes where your misery is, where God has brought you out of and pulled you out of. That's what you have a burning desire within your heart to go and tell people about, because that's where God brought you out of. And there's scripture to back that up. And we'll get in that later on as we get into the study. But there is actually scripture to back that up. And that's what I loved about it, because when he said that, a scripture came to my mind, and I said, "Man, Jim, look, that's exactly." what this scripture is saying.
Yeah.
Like we say, God knows what he's doing, and he works this out for the glorification of his son, and it's pretty awesome.
And the struggles we endure and we cause before salvation in Christ, all those years of pain and broken relationships and all the we look back on it. It's easy to look back on it with so much regret and just hang your head and you can even get back to a place where you condemn yourself again for the stuff you did. But here's what Jim was saying, and Lord is so great at ministering through you, is that if you give your life to Christ, none of that has to be wasted time.
God has deposited something on the inside of you. Not a second of it was wasted.
Yeah.
None of it was wasted. Because God's going to use it to glorify himself, further his kingdom, because people need to hear about where God had brought you. Because guess what? Everybody can relate to the things that you've been through, and then it will give them hope to what God can do for them in their life. So everything that God's using, all that, again, that's later on in this study, but God plans on, and he will, and his desire is, and he has a plan too, if you will just yield to that and allow what the enemy meant for destruction, God can turn around. That's that Romans 8:28 for, you know, the scripture real well, where it says God work all things out for the glory of for the furtherance of his kingdom for those who are called. According. That's right. Yeah. And that's what I love about that scripture is that, you know, it can relate to just about all of us. And,
absolutely,
you know, you don't have to go through a lot of self-infliction like myself did. But, man, God can use anybody in any circumstance, in any situation.
And he will.
And he will.
I was also thinking about Paul when he would relate his conversion story. Is it Galatians when he looks back?
First Timothy. Are you talking about where he says, "This is what I once was"?
No. Oh. I'm talking about when he's talking about the road to Damascus.
Oh, yes.
And one of the things that he comments there that we don't read about in Acts when it talks about that, but when Paul's telling his story, he talks about Jesus saying, "How long will you kick against the pricks?"
Oh, yes.
And other translations says, "How long will you kick against the goads?" And what Paul's bringing out in that is that God had been after Paul more than just that one moment on the road.
Right.
He'd already been doing something in Paul's past. And so here's Paul struggling and going through the junk that Paul's causing in his life. He doesn't know Jesus Christ personally, and he's causing all of this havoc in the cities that he's working in. But God's doing something in Paul, and he's knocking on the door of Paul's heart, but he's being hard-headed and he's being stubborn. And then there's this road to Damascus experience, and he knocks Paul down, and he's like, "Paul, how long are you going to keep kicking against what I'm doing?" And here's what I think God is telling Paul, and I think there's people out there right now that can hear this and realize that God's after you. Paul was hard-headed, but not as hard-headed as God.
That's right. Right.
God wasn't about to give
stop.
Up.
That's right. That's
There's one old poem, and I don't remember the poem, but he calls, in the poet calls God the Hound of Heaven. Wow. And he's hot on your trail.
Right.
And he's
you know, I believe I've heard that before. How awesome is that?
He's
he don't give
you down.
Up. That's right.
He's not giving up. He's got a dogged perseverance. He loves you, and he's not going to quit.
And he won't stop.
So he's going to keep allowing those struggles to come in. He's going to even put you in positions where you fall down on your face. He's going to do whatever it takes to get your attention.
That's right.
And one of these days, You're going to give in
to
God.
Hey, because like you said, He is way more persistent than what you will ever be, and He will not stop. You know, looking back on my life, I'm like, wow, really a lot, really overwhelmed at how persistent He actually was. How everything from a child, David, up into the present time that I broke, and I finally said, that's enough. Enough's enough. And I called out to the only one that I had never called out before to. And I'm telling you, at that point in time, everything, God started revealing everything to me. My whole life to me just started flooding in. And I finally had an opportunity. God allowed me to see myself for who I truly was for the first time in my life. And so.
Well, let's do this. We've got about maybe 2 minutes. And kind of thought we would get further along, but I think what God did in this show today is very necessary.
Right.
I think there are a lot of people out there that are just, they're so sick of living.
That's right.
They're so sick of living the way, if this is the way life is, I just don't want it.
Right.
But man, let's do this in these last couple minutes. For that person that's listening, saying, okay, everything you're saying, I'm relating to, I see it in my life. What do I do now?
Right.
And I'm just talking about at that moment of salvation. And could we just walk them, if you're out there right now and you're saying, what do I do to step over the threshold, to walk inside, to actually receive Jesus Christ and get rid of this life of struggle? What do I do now?
Right.
And it's really simple. And thank God He makes it simple. The truth is this, you got to know you're a sinner.
Absolutely.
Got to come to a place where you're willing to look at yourself and say, I am just a mess. Right. It's my fault. And I can't fix me. And I tell people, number one, you got to know that you know that you know you're filled with sin. Number two, you got to know that you know that you know that Christ is the only answer.
The only answer. That's right. That's big.
Yeah. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. So if you come to the place where you're admitting your sinfulness and you've got to have something else, and you come to the understanding that Christ is the only answer to do that, what Paul would say, who will deliver me? It's only Jesus.
Amen.
Then the third thing you got to do is you got to ask.
That's right.
Get down on your knees like Chuck did in that seg cell. It doesn't have to be a flowery theological prayer.
Right.
Just
Amen.
Something that's real from your heart, and pray, God, will you forgive me? Will you come in here and do what I can't do? Will you take over my life?
Amen. Amen.
And He will.
And you know what? We don't have to complicate it. It's actually that simple.
Amen. So if that's your prayer, pray that. He'll hear you today. And come back next week. We'll keep talking about this. Until then, guys, keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.